Okay, we're all set.
Okay, great. Good morning, everyone. I would call the meeting of the Board of Fire and Permit Examiners, July 13th meeting to order at 10:04 a.m. Start by reading a brief introductory statement. For the record and in advance of hearing testimony, I'd like to explain the procedures we shall be following today. First, these are civil administrative proceedings being held in accordance with Section 29-32B of the Connecticut General Statutes. Under the General Statutes, this Board is charged with the duty of hearing the case, inquiring and determining the facts de novo, and determining whether those facts would be just and proper cause for revoking or denying a permit. It will occasionally happen that facts and events as the issuing authority believe them to be at the time of denial or revocation justified that denial or revocation, but additional facts and circumstances which come to light during these hearings convinces the Board that in all fairness, justice would be served by ordering the permit issued or reinstated. Where no additional evidence or other compelling circumstances are uncovered, however, the Board will respect the judgment of the issuing authority. Under the General Statutes, hearings of this Board may be conducted informally, but in a manner that guarantees fundamental fairness and the right to cross-examination. All testimony will be under oath and recorded, and all laws against perjury apply to those persons testifying. Be advised, this Board takes perjury seriously and will refer perjury instances to the appropriate authority for full prosecution. Additionally, the Board may subpoena testimony if necessary. These hearings are public hearings, and they fall within the purview of the Freedom of Information Act. Accordingly, appellants and issuing authorities are hereby advised that none of the information or documents introduced here as evidence may be excluded from the public. Both parties may be permitted to make brief opening statements indicating the scope of the case and what they intend to show. In its opening statement, the issuing authority should briefly give the reasons for denying or revoking the appellant's application or permit. You may call witnesses to testify on your behalf. At the conclusion of each witness's testimony, the other party may cross-examine that witness. The Board may also inquire with its own questions, and in doing so, it reserves the right to question all witnesses at any time or to request testimony by additional witnesses if necessary. At the conclusion of all testimony, the issuing authority and appellant may make brief closing statements. Decision of the Board is by majority vote of those members present in voting. The burden of proof in these matters is by a preponderance of the evidence, and it lies with the issuing authority. Accordingly, all tie votes will inure to the appellant. In addition to today, both parties will be notified of the Board's decision by mail within 20 days of today's hearing. In deference to the statutory scheme as codified in Connecticut General Statutes 29-28D, and pursuant to Superior Court ruling, in an abundance of caution, the Board will endeavor to maintain the confidentiality of all appellants appearing here today. Toward that end, the Board will refrain from addressing the appellants by name or by noting the appellant's address, but instead will address each one simply by the title appellant. The Board hereby requests all witnesses testifying here today to do likewise and to refer to each appellant only by his or her title appellant. Finally, in accordance with Superior Court ruling, the Board cannot entertain hearsay testimony or testimony derived solely from erased records with regard to matters subject to erasure pursuant to Connecticut General Statutes 54-142A. In those matters, testimony to the Board is limited to direct evidence obtained in the course of an investigation or personal recollection of the underlying events. Last, please turn off your cell phones and put your phones on vibrate. If you need to have a conversation, please go out and do that so as not to disturb these proceedings. Thank you. Okay, if I can find something, I'm going to call the roll of the Board.
Dr. You got the new one?
What?
Oh, okay, but you got the new agenda too.
Yes, I have the new agenda.
Thank you.
It will be an adventure trying to. Dr. Conrad.
Present.
Attorney Cinetti.
Here.
Colonel Lewis.
Present.
Ms. Johnson.
Present.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Here.
And Mr. Gray is not here, and Colonel Overturk is not here. But I am here. So we do have a quorum. Now we are going to call the roll of cases. Does everybody know their case number? Hopefully. It's going to be like two digits followed by three digits. That's how I'm calling cases. No? You don't? step up.
Oh, no, you're all set. I know who they are. I know who they are.
We're going to let you know what your case number is when we come up.
I'll give you your case numbers.
All right, case number one is 22-376. Is anybody here on that?
No, and Thomaston's not here. Thomaston's not here also either, so I'm not quite sure.
Interesting. Okay. Skip that for now. Case number two is 22-031.
Issuance authority.
And that's you? Yep, no, you can sit. You're all set.
We're just calling and see who's here. It's like, you know, calling attendants. Case number three, 22-030.
Issuance authority.
And that's him. That's your number.
Okay, great. Both parties. Case number four is 22-389. Both parties, thank you. Case number five, 22-036.
Issuance authority.
You gotta check in.
He has not checked in with me.
Case number six is 22-391.
The appellant's here also.
Okay, both parties. That's a Middletown case for the record.
Middletown case, correct. Yeah, Middletown? Yeah.
Case number seven, 22-038.
Present.
Issuing authority's here also.
Case number eight, 22-251.
Issuing authority.
Did we get an appellant?
Yeah, he's here.
Okay. Case number nine, 22-437.
Here.
Both parties, thank you. Okay, could anybody who will be testifying please stand and raise your right hand so that I may administer the oath? That's anybody basically who's not an attorney. So if you're talking to us, you gotta take the oath.
All the appellants.
Sir, are you gonna be behind you? Are you gonna
be? Yep, sir, are you gonna stand up?
Sir?
Yep.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm as the case may be that the evidence you shall give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or on penalties of perjury?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
You may be seated. Alrighty. Can't start with case number one. Case number two.
And three. They're together.
They're together.
Yes.
All right.
That's what they prefer.
Cases number two and three. That's 22-031 and 22-030. Sorry,
I'm sorry.
Counsel, can you please identify yourself for the record?
Good morning. My name is Attorney Cynthia Isalis. I represent the Commissioner of the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection in this revocation hearing, and my witness is Officer Joseph Moraes of the Waterbury Police Department.
Can you spell the last name of your witness?
M-O-R-I-A-I-S. M-O-R-A-I-S.
Got it.
Thank you.
Counsel, please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning. My name is Attorney Rachel Baird, and I represent the two appellants. I'm actually following my appearance verbally today. They contacted me this morning and asked them to assist with the proceedings today.
Wonderful. You can fax that in later or something, the appearance?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
And I did speak to Attorney Isalis, and if I could just make a request. My request would be that there is a case still pending with regard to these two individuals, which should end on February 7th, 2024. So I am respectfully requesting that the hearings be continued until after that date.
Counsel, what's your position?
The state would object to that request. We have our witness here today who has come up from Waterbury. The state is ready to move forward today, so we would object to that request.
Okay, the objection is sustained. We'll proceed today.
So given that ruling, we're going to withdraw our appeals today and move forward after February 7th, 2024 to follow up on there.
Okay. Thank you, council.
Pistol permits, thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Case four, I believe all parties are here, 22-389.
You said 389?
Yes.
Yes.
Middletown.
Yep.
Morning, Sergeant, please identify yourself for the record indicating the authority you're representing here today.
Sergeant Elias Martz with the Middletown Police Department.
Sergeant, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes. Sorry. The appellant in this case was denied due to a conviction, which I believe was an automatic disqualifier, and there was also an inaccuracy on the DPS 799C.
This was a 1991 conviction under 21A-279, is that correct?
Yes.
I thought I saw somewhere it was indicated that was a felony. I don't believe that is. Is that correct?
I attempted to get the original record of the arrest due to retention of records to the state police. The original record is no longer available. So
we don't know.
There was some question on the criminal history as to the arrest. I do have the printouts. Basically, it lists convicted felon, which led us to believe that it was a felony. The issue is that the original charge and substituted charge listed on the criminal history printout, while it does say convicted felon at the top, the original charge is listed as possession of drug marijuana under 21A-279C, which is a misdemeanor, but the substituted charge and conviction was listed as possession of narcotics under 21A-279A, which is a unclassed felony. So it was difficult for us to ascertain, but based on the fact that it said convicted felon and the conviction was listed as a felony charge, we had to deny based on the felony being the disqualifier. And additionally, as I stated, the conviction was not listed on the DPS 799C.
Correct.
Even though the arrest was listed.
Do any of my criminal justice people on the board have any thoughts on that?
I'd like to see the bench. That's okay.
Yeah, if you could pass that forward, please. Sir, do you have knowledge that you're a convicted felon?
No.
Based on what we're seeing here, it does appear that you do have a conviction dating back to 1991, and felonies do not disappear without a a pardon. So we do not, we do not have the authority to grant your appeal because you are prohibited from possessing a firearm based on your felony status. So you can proceed with your case knowing that we will most likely be denying your appeal. You can withdraw your case like the last case did, and you can either let go of your attempts to have a permit, or you could seek a pardon from the Board of Pardons here in the state to get that conviction back from 1991 off your record, which would remove the disqualifying conviction. That's up to you. So you can either proceed or withdraw. What would you like to do? Okay. The withdrawal is noted at 10:20 a.m. If you do need any more information about the Board of Pardons, it is on our website if you want to take a look there. You can Google it as well.
Okay.
All right. All right.